Welcome to the Nerdy Reads podcast. We read nerdy stuff such as sci-fi, fantasy books, comics, manga, and horror. We also discuss all things nerdy from around the globe. This week, we read a book that was in the running for sci-fi book of the year last year, Starter Villain. And I wanted to read a bit of that story to give you a glimpse of what you are in for a little later in this episode. I should know something about the business, I pressed. Instead, I'm here on an island in the Caribbean being told I need to talk to dolphins in the middle of a labor action about some whales that might have torpedoes, armed by a secret society of villains who want access to a storeroom full of objects probably looted from the victims of the Nazis and who are maybe willing to blow up my volcano lair to get it. I admit it, Morrison said. That does sound ridiculous. We have a wild one in store for you today. We also have a comic corner. We are trying some freeze-dried Skittles. We'll discuss some nerdy news, and we'll have a lot of fun along the way. I'm one of your hosts, Justin. With me is my good friend and colleague, Robert. What is up, bro?
Justin, what's going on, dude? As always, I'm excited for another episode of the Nerdy Reads podcast. This one is going to be absurd. That book was insane. I'm ready to get my jaw jacked. But first, my brother from another mother, my bestie from another testy, sweet baby Dylan, what's up?
What's going on, guys, man? I'm excited for this episode. It's been a long week, so I'm just super hyped to just sit down and talk nerd stuff with you guys, so let's get into it.
We're also excited to welcome this week's guest. We have mentioned him several times on this show. This man is a legend. He's our favorite teacher on the planet. It is Watson to Hotson. What is up, my friend?
Oh, it is I, the Watson to Hotsons, fresh from Germany's. I'm very excited to be here. I hope my voice isn't grating to anyone. It'll be very bad. It's a 5-minute episode having to listen to me if you didn't like my voice. Some people don't.
There we go.
What a way to come into this episode just straight swinging. We have some pretty awesome holidays today, which all center around this podcast. It's Bibliomania Day. The story behind Bibliomania Day started in the 1950s, then later made popular by Steven Bloomberg, also known as the Book Bandit. From Iowa, who hoarded thousands of books, he amassed over 23,600 books from 327 libraries and museums across 45 states, two provinces in Canada, and the District of Columbia. The combined worth of the books was estimated to be $5.3 million on March 20th of 1990. Bloomberg was caught by his friend who turned him over to the FBI. It's also Hufflepuff Pride Day, which is the day that's celebrated on March 20th of every single year. This is the day that celebrates the Hufflepuff house from the popular Harry Potter series. And last but certainly not least, it's World Storytelling Day. World Storytelling Day, which occurs annually on March 20th, is a day that celebrates the art of storytelling. Whether the story has words, pictures, signs, or expressions, all forms of storytelling are appreciated on this day.
Dude, I like these holidays, man, especially that Hufflepuff one. You strike me as a Hufflepuff, bro.
Hey, dude, when I took the test, bro, I got the badger.
Yeah, I saw it coming.
You always talk about me. We've had this conversation where Robert tries to false claim that he's Slytherin, but we know better.
Not a false claim, baby. House green.
Watson, what about you, man? Which house are you from?
Hufflepuff every single time.
Thank you.
And we went to the Harry Potter world, the Harry Potter experience, whatever they called it, when we were over in England, and we came back with the badger shirt and a bunch of wands. So
I respect that.
Loyal Hufflepuff there.
Yes. Same here, bro.
Plus it also, you know, describes what I do when I run and my size. So.
I like that you went to the Harry Potter experience and you preface like, over in England, like us poors, we just go to Universal Orlando. But my man Watts is out here traveling the world for the experience. I respect it.
No, that was just the one time.
The NCAA tournament started today. Who's cutting down the nets? Who you got? March Madness, baby. Who's bringing it home?
I'm a sucker for good cheese. I'm definitely going to go for Gorgonzola this year.
Nice, dude.
I think they've got a chance to breathe the other all the teams.
Oh, my.
I think they're going to make that cheddar with the endorsement deals. You know, they've got a great dude in Parma, Sean Williams, good running forward. Swiss.
I'm going to give a sample answer and just say Houston.
My heart says it's the Kentucky Wildcats.
But what does your brain say, though?
My mind says like UConn. But UConn or Purdue, take your pick. My heart says Kentucky Wildcats.
Honestly, I don't care.
There it is, everybody.
We knew one of there would be an answer like that. We knew there would be. And so without further ado, it is time for Comic Corner. Hey, this week's Comic Corner is sponsored by upcoming show, Comic Corner Podcast, that is going to be a branch of this show that will release sometime in April. Today, we are talking X-Men in honor of X-Men 97, the animated series. X-Men Forever Number 1 is a book that is going to be in your shops starting now. So, Haunted House of X, how can you kill a digital god? What do you do when the Phoenix is bleeding out into nothing? There's been questions that have haunted you since the end of Immortal X-Men. Finally, some answers, tying directly into the pages of the epic fall of the House of X and rise of the power of X comes to this story of revelation. This book will be in your local shop. Like we said earlier, it's 28 pages and it's going to run you about $4.99. Are you guys excited for this new X-Men show getting ready to drop very soon?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe by the time of this recording, it's out.
And it is.
The first few episodes. I'll definitely be watching and reporting back on next week's Nerdy Reads podcast, my thoughts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those of you who are interested in diving deep into X-Men before you watch the show, there's something really awesome that Blake actually sent to us today to let us know that this was going down. Marvel Unlimited is actually throwing a deal right now for you to catch up on all things X-Men. You'll get your first month for 97 cents. You just have to get the little promo code, but very easy to get. If you're interested in Marvel Unlimited, now's the time to sign up for your first month for 97 cents. I'm going in, bro.
Oh, yeah. For anyone interested, that promo code is XMen97. You get your first month for 97 cents. You get access to tons of comics. I learned last week on this show from Blake that the X-Men cartoon I loved in the 90s continued on as a comic book series. So I'm interested to sign up and kind of check that out and see what's been going on.
Watson, you got a Marvel favorite?
Oh, man, Magneto. He's the perfect character. I think he's that morally gray. He's done, you know, both good and evil. Most people, you know, you just kind of immediately consider him a bad guy or a villain. I think his motivations are way more nuanced than that. I think, you know, obviously his methods are maybe a little distasteful at times. he's a great character.
Totally agree with that, man. Give us just a few minutes because I think we're all very, very excited to try these Skittles that we have. And we're going to go check out the New Stuff Cafe. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the New Stuff Cafe. We will do the best that we can to tackle today's toughest questions. But before we do, we're trying an interesting snack. Robert, what are we having?
Today, we have freeze-dried candy, specifically freeze-dried Skittles. It was recommended to us from Atalanta Ash over in our Discord channel. So we always like to get your recommendations. We take them into consideration. I love Skittles as a kid, especially Wildberry Skittles. They're goated. Don't at me, Dylan. So here we are, dude. And I also got curious about freeze-dried candy, like why? So evidently they take this candy, they freeze the food, then they place it in like a strong vacuum that causes the ice to turn to vapor as if it was in space. But the candy retains its flavor, its smell, its color, but it completely changes the texture. And this process also causes the candy to rehydrate faster. So it's supposed to like lead to it just to melt in your mouth instantly. So there you go, man. Science.
You've had these before.
I've had Skittles before, yes, but not freeze-dried Skittles.
Freeze-dried.
Yeah, dude. Freeze-dried Skittles. Did you get the freeze-dried Skittles we texted you about?
I got dry Skittles. And I got real confused because I didn't know they sold wet ones. I thought dry was the only way they came. So I've even got the wild berry ones.
My favorite, goated. Yeah,
that's the kind I got. I got some wet ones, but I think it's something different.
That is definitely not the wet ones we needed.
I I just thought you were all were saying like these dry Skittles. I didn't realize it was freeze dried until you started talking about space and science. It's like, how did these dudes make it, you know, 57 and 63 years respectively without ever eating a Skittle? It's classic candy.
Well, I just ate some dry Skittles.
Whoa.
Because Watson put it for a reference point to see if they taste the same. Now I'm going to try my freeze-dried Skittles. They do smell like Skittles. I will say that. The smell is there.
You know what these taste like? Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Perfect. They taste like Fruity Pebbles, bro. I think it's the texture that gives it even more of the Fruity Pebble vibe. Freeze-dried Skittles are just Fruity Pebbles.
If you treat it like a jawbreaker, it does melt in your mouth.
I was about to say, yeah, mine wasn't reconstituting, but I guess I kind of just crunched and got right in there.
I'm going to let it sit in my mouth for a minute, see if it melts.
Adelina Ash, thank you for this recommendation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you. I actually like this.
Good stuff.
I paid roughly, I think, $10 for this bag of candy. So that's why I cut it like it was drugs and gave Justin and Dylan their own little baggie.
It's so true. Yeah, it was actually pretty solid, though.
At home, the Skittles, not the drugs.
Yeah.
They got the freeze dryer. They've done the Skittles because they heard that they could sell it for, you know, what, 3 ounces for $10.
Mm-hmm.
They did like yogurt pops. They've done pudding. They've done fruits and vegetables. And most of them are garbage, but the Skittles are really good.
Yeah, these are
good.
Yeah.
I would way too many of these and then pass out in a diabetic coma.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. When I was doing research, I was actually like, oh, that's how they do it. My dumb brain from watching all these cooking shows with Veronica just assumed that they use liquid nitrogen on them. They just put some Skittles in a bowl and blasted them with liquid nitrogen. That's what I thought these were, but no.
That's what I thought they were until you just told me that that was not what they did earlier.
Yeah.
With all your science stuff.
Did you also get the super sour kind?
No, I didn't know they made super sour ones. Oh, he's got two bags.
I'm making that teacher money. I can afford two bags of candy. What's up?
All right, Watson, you kind of brought it up, man, making that teacher money. We thought it'd be kind of interesting and cool for our listeners and for us too, to kind of just hear a little bit about what it is like being an English teacher, man.
I wouldn't want to do anything else. If I could figure out a way to keep paying for the house, I would do it for free. You've got to be into it that way or you will fail as a teacher, I think. And we're seeing a lot of people, you know, enter the profession and then leave. Something like 50% of teachers don't make it to their first year, and then 50% of the ones that do don't make it to their second. So like the industry is responding to shifts like that, but you've got to have an interest in it, a passion in it, more than I think not every other job. Obviously there's other jobs you have to care about, but you've definitely got to be invested and love what you're doing in order to make it. But I would definitely, it's where I belong. It's way better than putting cheese on shelves.
You know, I know that, you know, with you being a teacher and that's like the thing that you're doing, and reading is also something that you're passionate about. Are those things that you're seeing like with kids? Is it fun to get that kind of rolling with students to spark that love and interest in reading with them?
It is at least fun to try.
Sure.
We've got a lot of the kind of politically correct term is reluctant readers, but I kind of like to call them resistant readers. They don't, you know, a lot of these kids don't want to read, and it's hard for me because reading's one of my favorite hobbies. Like I'll sit in my chair right there behind me for hours and just stare at some paper and hallucinate. And these kids don't have that love. I've listened to Dylan, sweet baby Dylan, complain about reading the whole podcast, essentially. So, no, I didn't read that book. Read this book.
Yep.
I'm going to read the podcast, though.
That's accurate.
Watson, well, so I just want to say that your Dylan impression is spot on.
I would agree.
But like that sentiment, he's not alone in it. A lot of Gen Alpha and Gen Z kids don't have that love of reading that I think maybe older generations were kind of instilled with. And I don't want to blame anything, right? I don't want to blame any group of people. But I think one of the bigger issues with kids reading now is their parents kind of resisted reading too. So when those people have kids, they don't read to them. So you miss out on the magic of like just reading a bedtime story, of just listening to like a children's book, hearing but not thinking about poetry and rhyme and meter and everything that makes expressing language in written form worth it. I think, you know, there's some weird generational stuff where it's kind of my generation's fault by and large, because we're not passing on that love because not all of us had it. Sure. So it's kind of, you know, waning a little bit. It's a bummer.
Well, Watson, something I'll say is just listening to you talk and hearing the things that you're saying today is I'm glad you're in the position you're in, bro.
Yeah.
I think,
you know, teachers for a while were the boogeyman and everybody was worried about them indoctrinating. They think, oh, you're indoctrinating our kids with whatever your political beliefs is. Bro, if I'm brainwashing any kids, it's definitely just going to be to read more. I don't think that's, you know, a political belief.
I don't if either, I man.
Convince them to read and do their homework, I would be a proud man.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, we thought it would be fun, Watson, since you're here, to have a little trivia. We'll kind of go around the room, but we're going to do Gen Z slang. So Watson's around it daily. Robert thinks that he's hip, and sweet baby Dylan is Gen Z. So I anticipate this being a tough competition between the three of you. So I'll start it off with Watson, and we'll go around the room, and we'll see who can get the most answers correct. All right, Watson, goat. Hello. What is goat?
Oh, greatest of all time.
Robert Camp.
Camp? Like
camp.
Just like playing video games, like you're just sitting in one spot waiting for someone to move and killing them, you're camping, bro.
Hold on. Before you continue, Justin, did you watch a video of some dude saying these were Gen Z and making up Gen Z words, or is this actual Gen Z slang?
It was Gen Z slang, bro.
Okay.
That's what I found. Okay. I found it on the interwebs, probably written by a millennial, but here we go. Camp. Something as ironically trendy. All right, Dylan. Sip tea.
You sip tea. That's like gossip. Like the tea. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That hot goss. Like you're sipping the tea. Or...
We'll give that to you. All right. Watson, take several seats.
Calm down.
Yeah. Okay.
Settle down.
Robert, finesse.
Oh, dude, it means like you're styling on somebody, bro. I just finessed you, bro. You one up somebody.
Dylan, do you believe that is correct?
I think he has the right idea.
But it's not correct completely. Yeah. Seems a little different than this definition I have.
I mean, yeah, I feel I would give him the point for that.
All right, we'll give it to you. All right, Dylan, sending me.
Sending me like you're... Like laughing hysterically, sort of. Like, oh, that sent me. That was so funny.
Watson, vibe check.
Oh, like a passing the vibe check. You're not in a mood that I really want to handle right now.
All right.
Robert, you're not passing the vibe check.
Pass me. There you go. Robert, living rent free.
Like living rent free in the head. Like you're just occupying space. I can't quit thinking that. It's like it's
bro. Dilly P was about to get on you on that one. Dylan, cap.
Cap, that's a lie. Like that's cap. You're capping, bro. You ain't telling the truth.
What? Watson ghosting.
Oh, that's where you leave, but you don't say anything to anybody. Usually in an internet conversation, you just stop. Existing like a ghost.
That's accurate, and that is Justin in 90% of conversations.
Wow. I stay ghosting, bro. That was our last one. Watson, hey dude, you know your stuff, bro. You know your Gen Z slang.
I was a little bit worried you were gonna stray into like Gen Alpha slang, and I was going to have to figure out what skibbity means.
What does skibbity mean? I hear
it. Skibbity does not have a solid linguistic definition yet, but they're trying to give it one. And like they is the generation using the word.
Really?
Essentially, it's starting to kind of take on the meaning that like it's cool, it's good, something that's worth something. Oh man, that's skibbity. That's awesome. But like it hasn't quite got, you know, national or global acceptance yet. It's in its infancy as a slang term.
Great. You get to watch these be birthed. Good for you, man. Do the kids say they got cooked a lot in your class?
Oh yeah. They cooked confused me for a minute because it means two things. One means you got absolutely wrecked. But two, it also can mean that you absolutely wrecked whatever you were doing, like in a good way. So I've heard kids of one test that I've given them or one quiz. They're like, oh, man, I'm cooked. Or, oh, bro, I cooked on that. And it means the complete opposite, just opinion. And you kind of have to take tone into account.
Yep. Like they say, let him cook. Like if he's like, if someone's like.
Yeah, he's going somewhere with this. Like, I promise.
If he's going somewhere with it, or like if somebody just got their ankles crossed up on the basketball court and be like, oh, you cooked them.
I was gonna say that I feel like that was a basketball slang for years before it was like big now, because I mean I feel like for years people have been talking about people getting cooked on the court.
Yeah, but, dude, for sure.
Well, Watson knows his Gen Z slang. So is Dilly P. Now, you, on the other hand, Robert, you know.
Nah, dude, I'm not a teacher and I'm not young. So shout out to my two bro hosts over here.
All right, everybody, give us just a moment. We'll be right back. We're getting ready to talk about Starter Villain, a book that we're all excited about talking about, I believe. So give us just a moment. We'll be right back. John Scalzi is a New York Times bestselling author and fiction. Awards won include the Hugo, the Locust, the Audi, the Robert A. Helian, blah, blah, blah. Sorry about that. He has won several awards. He's a creative consultant for Stargate Universe television series, writer for the video game Midnight Star by Industrial Toys, former president of the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America, executive producer for Old Man's War and The Collapsing Empire, both currently in development for film and TV, writer of the several short stories adapted into episodes of the Netflix series Love, Death, Plus Robots. And he is the author of today's story, Starter Villain. Robert, what's it about?
This book follows Charlie Fitzer, a divorced substitute teacher living with his cat in a house that his siblings want to sell. The only thing Charlie wants is to leave teaching behind and own the local pub he and his now deceased father used to share a pint at. But Charlie's life flips upside down when his long-lost uncle Jake dies and leaves him his supervillain business. Unfortunately for Charlie, Jake had enemies, and now they are after him. It's up to Charlie to win the war his uncle started.
This one's tagged science fiction, fiction, fantasy, humor, contemporary, adult.
Yeah, dude. So right off the bat, one thing about this novel, I found it to just be refreshing because it was funny in a way I wasn't expecting a science fiction novel to be. You have cats that are genetically altered to be extremely intelligent spy cats who have full-on conversations with special keyboards. And then there's like a group of dolphins who are out here trying to unionize. You got your evil volcano lair because, you know, of course, every villain should have their own lair. And the entire novel is so over the top, I couldn't help but laugh while reading it. And I think at some point when we decided to have Watson on, it was because they'd... I think three chapters in, I said, if we're going to have Watson on a show, it needs to be this book. Is there any way we can get him to read this book in, like, I don't know, 3 days? And my man delivered. Thanks, Watson.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time. It would have been harder if it weren't so good.
It was such a, like you said, very refreshing, but it was cool because, you know, when you get in the beginning of this, I think we've all either read a story or watched a movie about the person who all of a sudden stumbles into fortune, right? Like from rags to riches. And the beginning of this, you're like, oh, okay, it's one of these. And then it quickly becomes, oh, it's not one of these. You know, kind of things, because all this chaos ensues. And it really starts, I think, like at the funeral is when things just feel like, okay, this is not at all what I thought was going to happen. And it starts to get to where I don't have any clue And that's before we see cats and dolphins and all of that. And I'm like, what is actually going on here? Especially when all the flower arrangements are in and all the cards and the notes on the vase are all these like insane things for people who clearly didn't care about his dead uncle. But it was, man, this book was hilarious and awesome. And I agree, very refreshing.
Yeah, it kind of paints a weird picture on like, hey, my rich uncle just died. He got rich by owning parking garages, but why is someone trying to stab his corpse?
Right, right. And then it's like, hey, we have all these mourners here that aren't actually here to mourn. They're just here to check and verify your death. You know, like yeah. it was absolutely insane.
And that kind of led you to like the League of Villains. They called it the Lombardi Convocation. And they're not like super villains, like as in this is a superhero story. Like these villains are mostly just like Nepo babies who were raised in the money and took over their parents' careers. And the villains are like corporations and capitalistic ventures, crypto bros, that sort of thing.
Well, the villainy isn't just like you could easily write a story about like, oh, rich people are the devil or whatever. But it wasn't just that they were rich and that made them evil. It was that their job was to interrupt and disrupt like actual economies and businesses. Like they were actually doing evil, almost objectively evil things. It's just not just like rich people are out of touch, rich people are evil. Like it wasn't written off. It was explained pretty well kind of early with the economic treatise that he goes through with Morrison, where she explains like none of their money is actually spendable, and here's exactly why. And then it's like three pages of economic research after that explaining it. Like that was chef's kiss. I loved it. I loved like the references to why the trope that Scalzi is exploring was formed by someone who knew about the Lombardi Convocation. Like they brought it full circle. I love that. Like, oh yeah, you know, what you picture as a villain, this is actually what? Beautiful. His writing style, absolutely fantastic. He does dialogue really well, but what he absolutely excels at, in my mind, is the narration and like the internal monologue of Charlie, the main character. And I've looked at something else that Scalzi has written. It's called Slow Time Between the Stars. And it's all that internal monologue of this like hyper intelligent AI spaceship, basically. And it is such phenomenal writing of just like the internal thoughts without having to interact with any other person. Easily my favorite part. Also, it was hilarious. Just the whole book, the whole time, starter villain, really funny. There were a couple of twists. It's worth reading. I won't spoil anything. I don't think that's what I'm here for. I'm not a monster. Or at least not.
I even like in like the writing, like you were talking about the inner dialogue. I love how a lot of times Charlie will end like when something has been explained to him in depth, because the whole time it's just this fire hose of information about his uncle's business. And so he's just getting all this information. He's not fully understanding, yet everyone keeps making decisions around him and pushing all these things for him to go and do. And I just love how sometimes he just ends a conversation with, oh, swell. You know, things like that. It's just like, because I get it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's exactly, because he was way smarter than I was in the business world in the book, but you know, that's how I think I would feel if I was in that situation. But I agree, man, this book was just absolutely hilarious, because even though there is a lot of that business talk and like you said, just a lot of explanation, man, it's just so stinking funny that it just helps make that accessible to even like somebody like me who's not as engaged in like business world type stuff. Man, this book is hilarious.
I do think the author did a great job like with the explanation of like the business practices and stuff like Watson was talking about. Most of that like explanation comes between dialogue between characters. Like characters are having conversations and he's learning this from mostly Till throughout the book. But the way the dialogue's written and the banter between the characters, the back and forth, all of it's humorous and well done.
as a reader, I made one maybe serendipitous decision early on when they first mention Anton, who I will not describe in too much detail. I pictured him as Vince McMahon.
Dude, great.
And that, like, this is what I'm picturing, kept paying off like five different times in the novel. Then they make a wrestling joke, and I was just like, okay, great. It actually is Vince McMahon. I've done it. Like, I figured I cracked the code. I feel very intelligent.
Will Wheaton is the narrator of this book. And I mean, we've already said the term chef's kiss. I don't know if there could be a better narrator for this book than Will Wheaton, who I feel like encompasses everything this show's about, dude.
Dude, I didn't know he read the audiobook. I'm going to have to listen to this now.
So good.
Because I read it.
Yeah, so good, man. If you're Watson, highly recommend, dude. Will Wheaton just does this thing so much justice.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I went 50-50 like Kindle Audible with it, which again, I love that those two like just work seamlessly together. And Will Wheaton as a narrator actually made me, like, I had times where I could sit down and read this like on my lunch breaks, but I was like, man, I'll just wait till I get in the car. Yeah. I want to hear Will. That's how good he was.
Dude, so good, man. And just the way he did the voices of Charlie, I don't know. I just now that's who he is. You know, that's just who he is to me. He just did a really, really good job, man. Maybe my favorite outside. So I put him up there with the Holly narration as far as like, I mean, I know those are two very separate types of books, but as far as like quality and how well done it is, man, he did so good on this.
Is this the type of book that you guys think will stick with you after reading it, like a couple months down the road? Or do you consider, and it's not a bad thing to have junk food, or do you consider this kind of like, you know, brain candy, nice little laugh, and then you move on to the next one?
I see it as kind of both. They're completely different books, but I got a lot of similar vibes to Legends and Lattes while I was reading it, where until, you know, the action starts toward the end, it's very like cozy fish out of water who kind of wants to be there. Starting a new business that you don't really understand, a more knowledgeable other is there to help you along the way. Like, there was a lot of kind of similarity, I think, in the structure and the storytelling between Scalzi and Baldry at this point. And it's not like, I don't think a groundbreaking new classic 50 years from now, this is going to be they're, you know, Catch 22 or they're The Great Gatsby. Like, I don't think it's that kind of book, but I do think it's phenomenal. And it's probably one that I'm going to like think back to and refer to a lot over the next couple of years.
I think Legend and Lattes is a perfect comparison in the sense of like how it's going to stick with me. You went more in depth with your comparison. But I agree with the fact that because, you know, when I read Legends and Lattes, it was so unique to me at that time. Like, I don't know if I ever read anything quite like that before. And that whole like cozy vibe of what, and just something to refreshing and different. I feel very similar about this. And the fact that I felt like this was a very refreshing story, very cool. And again, it was hilarious and it was unique for me. There might be several books similar to this, but I have never experienced one like this. So because it was my first book like this, I think this one will definitely stick with me for a little while. I could see, like you said, Watson, it can be a little bit of both of that and can be a little bit of junk food, but also it sticks with me and it was just so well done. And so I don't know, I really, really enjoyed this one.
Yeah. The highest praise I can give a book is I want to read it again. And I want to read this book again. Cause I mean, we're all busy. We all have a lot going on in our lives. There's a lot of books out there to read, but if I actually want to go back to something, that says a lot. And I actually actively want to reread this book again from the beginning ago. And good news is, if I ever want to do that, it's not the longest read in the world. I read this book in 2 days from Friday to Sunday, knocked it out in my spare time. Yeah. Really fast, quick pace. If you're looking for something funny and unusual, give it a try.
Yeah. Another praise for this is that it makes me want to go and look at all his other stuff. What's next on the menu from, from Scalzi, you know, because
that's exactly why I went and looked for Slow Time Between the Stars, is it was free on Kindle with Amazon Prime, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I absolutely wanted to see more just because his writing style is so phenomenal, especially his internal dialogue and kind of narration stuff.
When I went to his website, it's whatever.scalzi.com. I instantly was like, okay, yeah, this is the dude who wrote this book. It was just one of those things where you're like, okay, this is the guy. Like, this all makes sense. Yeah, highly recommend. I feel like this is a Nerdy Read stamp of approval book right here. It's what I'm getting all around.
Easy Nerdy Read stamp of approval book for me.
Watson, I want you to ask Dylan the question that we ask every episode. Go ahead, bro.
All right. Dylan, give us some advice. That's not really a question, is it?
No, it's, you know what it is. Did he read it?
I might not know what the question is.
Oh, Dylan, did you read the book?
Oh, it's okay. Hell's blazes. I'm so in love with advice from Dylan, and deep thoughts with Dylan, that I wasn't even thinking about, did he read it?
Oh, that's at the end of the show, bro. We got to get his advice at the tail end.
Right now, when you got to leave them, with that high note, that really important.
That's it, that important nugget. All right, Dylan, just read the book.
Listen. I'm reading the book next week, I'm pretty sure. So I did not read it this week.
No. Hold up, dude. Hold up. What? Pretty sure?
There ain't no pretty sure about it, baby.
Correct that, dude. We're doing a Star Wars book for
you. Okay, sorry. I couldn't remember if next week was.
Yeah, we're doing this Star Wars book because of you.
Yeah, I'm reading it. I'm reading it for sure.
Bro.
See, I misinterpreted. I thought he was going to say, I'm going to read Starter Villain next week. Why wait? But okay.
Maybe I'll read it.
Maybe we're a week behind for every book on the podcast.
I'm actually just kind of done with Dylan right now. Let's actually, we're going to have a lot more Dylan here in just a minute with some nerdy news. So give us just a sec.
Hold on, bro. First off, Watson, I need you to send me that John Scalzi book you were talking about, because I'm now 100% interested. I'm going to need to add that to our future roadmap for this show. I don't think Justin will have a problem with this, sounds like. This dude also wrote a book called The Kaiju Preservation Society. That's up my alley, too.
Red Shirts, which is, I guess, Star Trek fan fiction, but I'm not entirely. I haven't gotten that one yet.
Dude.
Is Watson going to be our John Scalzi expert and come on to every show to do John Scalzi with us?
Bro, if you want me to, okay.
Yeah. Every time we have one, we're inviting Watson.
I would not have guessed that sci-fi was the genre that I got tapped for that one, but I will do it because I enjoyed the book that much. I will absolutely read the dude's entire bibliography. I'll read his blog.
So as you may or may not. Oh, thank you. Yeah. So as you may or may. I knew he was going to do it again. All right, I'll begin. As you may or may not know, today is apparently March 20th, according to my man Justin Reinhardt. And March 20th is National Alien Abduction Day. So our sighting of the week this week comes from user the Atomic Bo Praj. It's a Thanksgiving evening in 1997 when a blackout occurs. This footage recovered from an old handheld camera shows a young teenager frantically getting dressed when suddenly he runs up, picks up the camera, and turns it, and the camera is now pointing out to what is believed to be a real-life alien with an oddly shaped head and possibly what looks to be gray skin. An alien starts to approach him. That's when the footage stops. Could this just be Mr. Clean playing a prank? Or is it possibly a real-life alien abduction? Who knows? Check out the video. I think you have to actually go to the
clip. Yeah, go to the site, bro.
Oh. My bad.
I'll save you the time. Bogus.
is it bad?
having only gone from Dylan's description, it doesn't sound like an abduction at all.
No, bro, I can't even get this thing to play on the site, dude.
Oh, it's so clearly the government.
It's TikTok, bro, because it's paying now I'm all in.
Oh! Dylan, did you share a link to a banned app?
I guess I did. I don't know. It sounds like alien abductions are happening everywhere. Maybe that's why they're banning the app.
That could be it.
Will we get copyright struck if I start doing the Twilight Zone theme song?
Nah, dude, hit it.
We'll be okay.
No, I'm good.
Dylan, what's your verdict on this video, bro?
I think it's Mr. Clean playing a prank. It was found footage from 1997. And it looks like it was filmed in 1997 when 480p.
It definitely
doesn't 1997, that's about the year the Blair Witch Project came out, right?
Yeah, something like that. Let me look.
Not exactly, because I'm not a huge movie buff. I don't really know, but you know, it was probably in
1999, bro. 1999, Blair Witch.
After hearing Watson's predates it, then. After about the Blair Witch Project, I'm going to go ahead and revert what I've said about this video, and now I'm a believer this video is real.
That's what I feel like
this is how these always go. We go from this is fake to I believe everything about this. Yeah.
The Blair Witch Project's what did it. Thanks, Watson.
Yeah. There you go. There
it is. Hey, if you want to go watch this video, join our Discord. It is on our sighting board.
Yep, there you go. All right, Dylan. We all know what it is you really want to discuss today.
Dylan's excited about this one, y'all.
Yeah, Dylan's ready.
He's going to talk about something I don't know anything about.
So yeah, listen, this podcast is actually being recorded on March 19th, the day that the trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte released today. It released today. Anyway, so this is a show that I have been following for an extremely long time. It is a show that has had a lot of controversy around it. It has a very interesting story, in my opinion. It explores a very interesting time within the Star Wars universe, and that's why I'm very excited about it. But like I said, there has been a lot of controversy, and I won't go into that. Some of the comments that the director made that I don't necessarily agree with, I don't necessarily like, but I'm not going to go into that today. We're going to be positive, okay? Because I watched this trailer, okay? I watched this trailer. It came out today. And also, just so you know, the official release date is June 4th. So I will be watching it. They're going to drop 2 episodes that day. So I'm pretty excited for it. But even though it has been a long, rocky road with this show and all the rumors and all the things that have been going around, my review of the trailer, I actually found a lot of positive things about the trailer. It looks like Star Wars, first of all. That's my biggest... it looks like Star Wars, and that honestly has me so excited because we've had a lot of past projects that are not very Star Wars-esque, in my opinion. But again, we're trying to be positive today, so I won't go too into that. But one big thing that they actually showed in this trailer that had me very excited was the fact that there are actually lightsabers. Okay, because I love lightsabers. I love Jedi. That's a big reason why I love Star Wars. And Disney is just so afraid to actually explore characters that have
You're venturing into negative right now.
I know.
I'm gonna reel it back.
Keep the focus. Go back to how you love sabers.
This show is going to be exploring a time that I've always wanted to explore in the Star Wars universe, and that is the height of the Republic. Before the fall of the Jedi, and it's going to be talking about all that stuff, and it's going to be going into Sith acolytes, so it's going to be a deep dive into Sith lore, which I'm also super hyped for. I'm really ready for this thing to come out. The trailer looked pretty great compared to some of my previous thoughts before it came out of how my concerns about the show, but I'm looking forward to it. June 4th, I will be watching it and reporting what I think of the show. So,
Dylan, I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to watch this too. I watched the trailer. It's amazing. I haven't been interested in anything of Star Wars universe since probably The Mandalorian season 2. But this trailer was legit. It looked like the fight scenes and stuff. It reminded me a little bit of like Kill Bill. I mean, that's what I got from this. So I'm going to give this a try at least for a couple episodes. It does look good. I too am a fan of the lightsabers of Star Wars. So I'm in there.
You boys both like lightsabers, huh?
Yeah, we do.
That's right.
I'll own it.
I was a little bit worried I was going to have to be the 3 hours later guy. But I think instead I'll just say, did you know that Sith is actually an anagram?
What's it an anagram for? This?
Yep. Or hits. HITS. I'm sure there's one other one, but
is it a toasty?
Yeah, it depends on if the kids have gone to bed yet or not. Again, I'm not going to be the one.
Dude, we have to have one toasty every episode. So go ahead, Waddy.
Okay,
toasty.
Got to have at least one episode. Robert, you know what time it is.
All right, dude, it's time for What's Hot. We here at the Nerdy Reads podcast can't read everything. That's why we try to bring you something that's popular in the book world once a week. And this week, it is Annie Bott by Sierra Greer, a powerful, provocative novel about the relationship between a female robot and her human owner, exploring questions of intimacy, power, autonomy, and control. Annie Bott was created to be the perfect girlfriend for her human owner, Doug, designed to satisfy his emotional and physical needs, but she's also learning. Doug loves that Annie's AI makes her seem more like a real woman, so Annie explores human traits such as curiosity, secrecy, and longing. But becoming more human also means becoming less perfect. Check out Annie Bott, everyone. I love stories where the robots become sentient.
It's the Nerdy Reads at Night podcast.
Yeah, dude, I did my best abbreviating what that book was about to make it, you know, family friendly. But Annie Bott is sitting at Goodreads right now at a 4.1 out of 5 with a little over 3,000 ratings. It launches on April 6th.
There you go.
And coming up next on the Nerdy Reads podcast, it is our Dylan Reads the Book episode of the month. Dylan, we're going to get you to 2 books 1 month. But this month, it is Star Wars Heir to the Empire. Listener of the show, Cecil, requested this book to us, and it's a big one. Praised as one of the best novels the Star Wars expanded universe has to offer. It's a time of renewal, 5 years after the destruction of the Death Star and the defeat of Darth Vader and the Empire. I've heard from more than one person that this is the sequel series we should have received. So join us next week for Dylan Reads a Book here at the Nerdy Reads podcast.
Dylan better read a book here at the Nerdy Reads podcast. We're doing this book for Dylan. So when Dylan said maybe early, okay. All right, guys, that's about it for us here at the Nerdy Reads podcast. Man, we had a great episode. We tried some freeze-dried Skittles that were not wet ones, I guess. And so we did that. We talked about Starter Villain. We heard some insights that were really cool about, you know, teachers who are passionate about getting their students to learn and read and enjoy that part of life and stuff. And so, man, what an awesome episode this was. Watson, we are so glad that you were here and joining us, bro.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime, man.
This will not be the last time that we will hear from Watson to Hotson. Oh,
that's up to your listeners, though. That's not up to me.
Hey, bro. It's up to the people of the show, bro. We're going to
hit that German guy. Don't invite him back.
We're going to have you back, bro. Hey, there's a lot of things coming up here at the Nerdy Reads podcast. Man, I'm saying lots of big things coming up here at the Nerdy Reads podcast that you want to make sure that you're keeping up with. Robert, where can they find us?
You can find us over on Facebook, Instagram, Goodreads, and in our Discord at the Nerdy Reads podcast.
Want to encourage you to get in that Discord. One thing that we really want to encourage you guys to do is in the month of April, we are doing a book club, a couple episodes at our book club, and we're going to let everybody vote on that book. So you can do that in the Discord. The poll is already up. We're also going to throw that up on our Facebook as well for you to go and participate in voting on what book we will read in April. We're going to do the book for 2 weeks, and I think Robert's going to sign us up for an app that will also help us stay in communication with
one another. I think the app is Fable. And so we want to encourage you to participate with us in the book club, where we will read some of your comments on the episode. And so we look forward to that. It's going to be amazing. So join our Discord, go vote for that, or vote for it on our Facebook. And you know, before we go, we got to get some advice from Dilly P. Hit us, sweet
baby.
This
is my favorite part.
Listen, I know this is Watson's favorite part, okay? And I wish I came better prepared this week with a more funny or maybe even more serious advice. But I'm going to get a little controversial this week a little bit, though. So if you are a male, put the toilet seat down. Just do it. That's my advice for this week.
Here at the Nerdy Reads Podcast, we enjoy a good story. We believe that your story matters. So be good to each other and stay nerdy, our friends. Say bye, Dylan.
Bye, Dylan.
Goodbye.